What's happening right now in Gaza is a fulfillment of multiple prophecies in the Old Testament. Donald Trump may actually be setting the stage to fulfill a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9 with his statements about the United States taking over Gaza.
The U.S. going to own Gaza. Your White House has made clear taxpayer dollars won't be used for this. So no, what money are you going to use buy Gaza?
We're not going to buy anything. We're going to have it, and we're going to keep it, and we're going to make sure that there's going to be peace. And there's not going to be any problem, and nobody's going to question it.
You've said before that the U.S. would buy Gaza, and today you just said we're not going to buy Gaza.
We're not going to have to buy. We're going to have Gaza. We don't have to buy. There's nothing to buy. We will have Gaza.
What does that mean?
No reason to buy. There is nothing to buy. It's Gaza. It's a war-torn area. We're going to take it. We're going to hold it. We're going to cherish it. We're going to get it going eventually where a lot of jobs are going to be created for the people in the Middle East.
And Mr. President, take it under what authority? It is sovereign territory.
Under the U.S. authority.
This isn't a new idea. Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, proposed something very similar in that region of the world.
In Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable. From Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. If I was Israel right now, I would just bulldoze something in the Negev. I would try to move people in there. I know that won't be the popular thing to do, but I think that that's a better option to do so you can go in and finish the job.
Donald Trump and Jared Kushner aren't the only ones in support of this. Peace has been unachievable in the Middle East for so long that a lot of people are looking at this as a potential solution to the unrest that continues there.
Most experts when it comes to Israel and Gaza or the West Bank have been wrong for half a century in trying to find a solution. And so why should I keep leaning back on experts who have told me this would be crazy? I woke up to that, Dan. This is crazy, right? In response to Donald Trump. Are we all taking crazy pills? But I'm hearing that, Dan, from people who never got it right for 50 years. They didn't solve it. So why do we dismiss this as a potential solution?
If this actually comes to pass, this could be what's referenced in Zechariah 9:6 about a different group of people settling in the region of Ashdod, which neighbors Gaza. A mixed race shall settle in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. Gaza is referenced in multiple Bible prophecies. In Zephaniah chapter 2, it references Gaza's destruction. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. In the book of Zechariah, there's also a prophecy that says that Gaza will be destroyed. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for he dried up her expectation. The king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. It's hard to imagine that these prophecies aren't now fulfilled with the destruction that we see in Gaza. The amount of work it would take to rebuild just for this prophesied destruction to eventually come again seems unlikely. As it is today, Gaza is almost entirely destroyed, looking like these prophecies in Zechariah and Zephaniah have been fulfilled.
From the air, the scale of Israel's 15-month bombing campaign in Gaza is clear. This shows the destructive force of 85,000 tons of explosives. Recent satellite imagery analyzed by the United Nations revealed entire neighborhoods in ruins. Nearly 70% of buildings are destroyed, including nearly a quarter of a million residential homes. In the south of Gaza, similar scenes. Thousands of people are missing, and many bodies are trapped under rubble.
In a following verse in Zephaniah chapter 2, it says that Israel will eventually have control of that region of the world. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there. In the houses of Ashkelon, they shall lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. It's worth referencing that one of the reasons that so much unrest has continued in and around Gaza could be attributed to the fact that the Nephilim found refuge there. These offspring of the fallen angels were part of multiple different tribes in the region, and the Anakim were one of the most well-known tribes to have Nephilim living among them. This was one of the main reasons why God commanded the Israelites to destroy the people who lived in the region of Israel, because they had these fallen Nephilim living among them. None of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. This doesn't mean that the giants are continuing to walk around in Gaza this very day, but the influence of the fallen angels and their spirits within the Nephilim and the people of the Anakim who found refuge in Gaza could very well still be having an impact on that region of the world, and very well could be why there's so much unrest that continues in and around Gaza. The world may reject these prophecies, but we're seeing them come to pass. The people living in Israel are fully ready and believing that these prophecies will soon be fulfilled. They see the fall of Gaza as a fulfillment of Zephaniah and Zechariah. They're believing that Zechariah 9:13 is not far off from happening either, which prophesies Judah and Zion as being ready like a bow and as a warrior's sword ready to fight the battle of Gog and Magog. For I have bent Judah my bow, fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man.
You see, it says in the text that he will awaken Zion. And the rabbis tell us that this awakening is the final battle of Gog and Magog. And I quote, "The word of Zion are the word of awakening for the sons of Zion to go and fight for the sake of your son in the battle of Gog and Magog." Friends, this verse, the verse Zechariah 19:13, is the verse that prophesies about Gog and Magog. In essence, taking over Gaza, removing them, seeing the hostages, and ultimately seeing the nation become full. Ephraim is the Messiah, son of Ephraim, becoming full, is a picture that is leading us straight into Gog and Magog.
The Jewish people fully believe this is all coming to pass to bring their Messiah and the Messianic Age to the world. This is setting the stage for the 3.5 years of peace, for the third temple to be built, and for the Antichrist to come to his rise to power. But as we know, while everyone is saying, now we have peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as they realize that this person is the Antichrist, the anti-Messiah, not the Savior they've been looking for, and that Jesus Christ, the one whom they pierced, is the true Messiah, and then he soon will return onto the Mount of Olives to set all things right and throw that anti-Messiah, anti-Christ, into the everlasting fire. If they would just study those passages a little closer, like chapter 9 in the book of Zechariah, they could see that the prophecy of the Messiah was fully fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is recorded in all four Gospels as Jesus' triumphal entry, where he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey just before his crucifixion. An amazing connection here is that when you look at the fur pattern on a donkey's back, you can see it's in the shape of a cross. So as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and being praised as the Son of David riding on a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, is also even seen in the cross pattern of the fur on the donkey he rode on. Only through the perfect sacrifice of the sinless Jesus are we forgiven of our sins, and only through Jesus and understanding his word will all the prophecies taking place in the earth actually make sense. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.